to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Friday, June 27th, 2014. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. How we doing?
I was telling Yvonne, I don't have a list. We're starting like half an hour, or 45 minutes late. I know he had something going on too, but I was the latest one. And the reason was my daughter was leaving for her first multi-night, overnight music festival thing without benefit of adult supervision. And I say adult in quotes because it's an over 18 venue and she's almost 19. So
she's not. Oh, jeez. It's the first time?
So it's like a 3-day festival thing. She's taking a tent. She's going with a friend. The whole deal.
You know, times have changed. You know, I got to tell you. I mean, because I'm sorry. I'm freaking... Jesus, I got on a plane by myself, 14, to go somewhere, for God's sakes.
I did. Well, she's been on a plane by herself. She did that when she was like 7 or something.
Okay.
But she was, you know, she was going somewhere with like, she was met on the other end by an adult.
No, that crap.
Yeah. So anyway, but so the deal was not like... It was just all the getting all her crap into her van and getting her ready to go and all this kind of stuff. And then Alex tries to hide in her van so that she will forget he's there and accidentally take him with her.
Yeah.
You know.
That would have been funny.
That would have been somewhat amusing. Not really.
That's what I saw.
What did you
think? Well, she would have turned around at some point.
Probably.
I'm sure. You could not have stayed quiet that long.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that too. Anyway, so that's where we were doing, and then like, you know, and my wife, of course, is like, oh my God, she's going away. Is she going to be okay? And I'm like, she'll be fine. She's responsible. She knows what she's doing. She's not as crazy as my wife was at that age. And anyway, so like, you know, there's like a cooler full of snacks and stuff, but the cooler that we had had some sort of problem. So my wife ran out and got a new cooler and blah, you know, the whole thing. So anyway,
she
just drove away. And so all is good. And she'll be back in 3 days.
Oh, man. Well, that's interesting. Well, I will say this, that we have a mutual friend in Atlanta. Okay, all right. But yeah. I did, for full disclosure, last week I may have been during the show a little bit not as focused as normally I am, because somebody that you and I both know that lives in Atlanta was driving me insane. And has continued to do that over the last week because she's been trying to buy a new computer.
Oh God.
I don't know if she is exactly. And I don't know if she's pinged you about any questions.
Not this time around, because last time around she asked me some questions and she ignored everything I said. So I don't think she's asked me this time.
I basically, she has been driving me out of my mind. I don't know what that. I mean, I'm just, look, she did get the new computer and she got a Mac.
Oh,
I told her she's.
Wow.
I told her she's not fucking getting another PC. I told her you're getting a fucking Mac. I'm not dealing with this crap.
That was the advice she ignored last time.
Yes. And I told her that the last time, and she forced it. I was like, fine. Okay, so but here's the one tidbit that she... Okay, so look, her computer had problems. It had been freezing. It had been stopping. And look, I did her last data migration. And I said, listen, I don't have time for this shit. Okay, all right, you got to buy a Mac because you want to take your damn computer over there and you want them to do your fucking migration, and I'm just not doing it. Yeah. All right, okay, I'm out. Okay, I'm done. All right? So look, she took the PC over there, and I know the PC had been having problems. Now, okay, the migration took quite an inordinate amount of time.
Because they had to keep messing with the old computer?
Yeah, well, yes, but no, there was another reason, which because she did not divulge, okay, all right, that her total photo library... How many pictures do you have in your photo library?
About 100,000.
You have 100,000.
Yeah, close, okay. Not quite, but getting
okay,
close.
Getting there. She has 300,000.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Well, okay, not really. That is way, way, way above average.
I can believe above average, sure.
substantially, massively. That is a massive outlier.
Just so you know, my pictures folder is 420 gigabytes.
Okay, she has 300,000. She has three times your pictures, Sam. Three times. Okay?
So about 2 terabytes of pictures?
Well, apparently the quality must not be that great, okay, all right, because it's not, she must have been about a terabyte. But anyway,
I have another couple terabytes of
Well,
of
the
home
migration
movies.
Bogged down on a lot of times because a combination of computer problem between that, and at first she didn't say that's how many pictures she had. Well, shit, I said, well, just import them into iPhoto. Well, that, not really such a hot idea, okay? Well, so
iPhoto can handle it, but it takes a long, long time to digest that.
Well, but here's the other problem.
I have 1 terabyte of movies and half a terabyte of pictures.
But she had them all in this folder structure. Right. Okay, all right. But there's no way to translate that folder structure into there. Okay, and if she would have fucking told me that in the first place, I would have said, well, you can't use fucking iPhoto. You gotta just copy the damn folders over as they are.
Well, and you can do stuff, but it takes, anyway.
Well, you just can't do it on an import. You got to rebuild it, is what I said. And that's what I explained to her. I said, listen, if you had had iPhoto for the last 10 years instead of using that fucking piece of shit PC that you were using, well, then you know what? You could have just transferred that. But because you didn't, now it's impossible to really rebuild that structure. You just got to copy over the folders. So I don't know. You know.
Well, did the Apple Store eventually finish and do everything they needed to do? It just took a long time.
But the thing is, well, they did. But the thing is that at the end now, you know, if she would have explained how she had her pictures organized.
Because now they're all just one mass, probably.
Right.
They didn't
work. So we really have to go back and basically just fucking say, well, you got to just connect the PC and just copy the damn folders over.
Yeah, if you want to retain that structure without extra work, because you can duplicate that structure in iPhoto or whatever. You just have to know that's what you're doing, and the Apple Store people wouldn't know that unless you said something.
Right.
And even then, that would probably be above and beyond what they would normally do.
Exactly. And she didn't say that. Okay. So
now, to be absolutely fair, like the service that's advertised isn't tell us all your details and we'll take care of it. It's
actually no, that's not correct. They did. They asked us.
Oh, okay. They asked.
What do you have? How is it structured? What do you want?
Okay.
Okay. And I would have. Well, I gotta say this for another full disclosure. She didn't know she had that many pictures.
Of course not.
Okay. You know, they're the ones that have to say, well, the reason why it took so fucking long is because you have 300 motherfucking thousand pictures.
I'll tell you, whenever I have, the last few times I've transferred my stuff from one computer to another and whatever, the whole process, like, you know, and I'm thinking about doing something different the next time I get a computer, but so far I've always just moved everything. And the process of getting everything up and running and doing what I want it to be and blah, 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 is because I also have a huge email archive as well with millions of emails. That the whole process from the moment I crack it open and start the import process to the moment, not when the initial import finishes, but when I've actually got everything set up and working again, 48 to 72 hours continuous.
Well, yeah, but and that's what it took for her for Apple to transfer her stuff. Took them 3 days.
Right.
So, but I honestly wanted to get out of the PC support business, which is what I did with my sister. I basically said, either you're buying Macs, I'm not doing this shit anymore. I'm not coming over here to support all these fucking PCs. I don't have time for this crap. So she bought all Macs, and she's got Apple 1-to-1, and every time something happens, whatever, they go support it, fix it, whatever. And, you know, look, they do substantially above average job of solving most problems. Okay, all right? So, yeah, and that's the same thing. She's got to get used to now that, you know what, listen, they have a store. It's near her house that you can call online.
Just
they'll do
go
the support.
There and ask.
Just go there and ask, and they will fix the damn problem. Okay, all right, and that's just it. So anyway, that was my freaking. And then she just, I mean, you know, of course, it's only tonight that she finally told me that. Oh yeah, I got 300,000 pictures. I mean, I thought you had a lot, you know, shit, until I heard her number. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I'm sorry, but 300,000 pictures, guys. Okay, look, I'm trying to think, right? So, let's see. Okay, 20 years have how many days? 365 days, right? How many days is that? 20 times 365, I don't know. You're the worst at math, so I what the hell am I asking you?
7,304.84398 if you consider the fact that it's not actually 365, it's 364 in a fraction.
Okay, so if you divide that...
365 in a fraction.
Okay, so how many pictures a day does that turn into if you divide 300,000 by that?
Approximately 41 pictures a day.
41 fucking pictures a day? I mean, what the hell? That's more than a picture an hour.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I'm sure her pattern is the same as mine. It's not that you're taking, you know, 41 pictures a day, every day, an hour and a half apart or whatever. It's that when you do something, you take a lot. Like, I went to the zoo last month sometime. And I came away from the zoo with 1,500 new pictures.
How many pictures from the zoo again?
Something like 1,500. So over 1,000.
Jesus.
From being at the zoo for 3 hours.
I don't understand how you can take that many pictures in that period of time.
Well, like you take multiple pictures of everything.
Even if I take multiple pictures of everything. I'm sorry. I have never taken that many pictures of any event ever. Okay.
I might be slightly exaggerating. It might have been like 800 or something. But yeah, in that ballpark.
Even if it's still 800 pictures. I mean, like, for example, I had my son's baptism. I think a grand total pictures that I collected from everybody, including the pictures I took, was less than 100 pictures.
See, now I have other events. Like when we adopted Amy, I've got like 3 pictures or 4 or some or maybe 10 on the outside because, like, well, I was participating. Other people were taking pictures of me. I wasn't doing it. If I'd been taking the pictures, I would have had 100 or more.
No, Jesus. Okay, all right. You just picture wacky. Okay, all right. Well,
and the thing is, what you're doing is you're taking many, many, many pictures so that, you know, out of that 100, there might be one good one.
Yeah, but that's the problem with that. Then you've got to go through the pictures, and then you got to actually select which pictures are good, for God's sakes. You know, which is just you're making the process of actually picking what's good extremely painful afterwards.
You know, you can scan through pictures really fast and notice the good ones.
And you go and you sit down in front of your pictures and always scan through them and categorize them and favorite them. Actually, by the way, that's what Kathy has been doing.
Well, I don't go that far. But what I've been doing the last few months, because I've been really bad about doing something with my pictures. The last few months, and you may have noticed on my blog, and I'm actually this weekend I have to do May, is I've been picking... the best pictures and posting them once a month. And I've been trying to, my rule is narrowing it down to one per day, not like one per actual calendar day, but like, you know, May has 31 days. So I'm going to pick 31 pictures for the month of May.
Well, that sounds pretty good, actually. I like that strategy.
And, you know, I may have 2,000 pictures to go through to get to that 31, but I'll go through the process. I'll take, you know, a half hour, an hour, whatever it is, to narrow it down and pick the 31 pictures I want to represent the month.
I'm going to see how many pictures I took in the last month. Let's see. How many pictures could I have taken in the last month? I'm going to guess a grand total of, gosh, this was... It's about 100 pictures total.
So I haven't got May in a nice convenient folder yet, which, by the way, iTunes lets you do smart folders so you can set them up by month or whatever. So I haven't set up the smart folder for May yet, but for April, the total number of pictures I had for the month was 979, which I narrowed down to 30.
Jesus Christ. And by the way, my 100 pictures includes me taking pictures of the damage to my home.
Right.
So if I if you take those out, that would take that number down a little bit. I'd say about 20. So yeah, I don't take that many pictures. Good Lord.
So I gathered. Anyway,
Anyway.
Because I was doing this stuff with my daughter right before the show, I didn't make a list, but Yvonne does have a list.
I have. Number one is the Supreme Court decision on phone searches.
Yep.
Number two, the Supreme Court decision on Aereo.
Yep.
And number three, the Supreme Court decision on research appointments. So it's a Supreme Court buffet. And they made it. I mean, it's quite an interesting three decisions, I must admit. I mean, you know, had some other sessions, but, you know, we've got it covering quite a technology, privacy, and the power of the presidency and Congress. I thought
I'm looking through things I've tweeted lately. So just to make sure, you do not want to talk about the Alaska bear that fell through the skylight and ate all the cupcakes.
No.
Iraq?
It's fucked up. Okay. What do you want me to say about Iraq? It's fucked. I thought about that. I did look at that. And then I said, what the hell am I going to say? It's fucked up.
Okay. Cochrane?
Which Cochrane? Johnny Cochrane?
Thad Cochrane.
Which one was Thad Cochrane? Was that the guy who won the thing?
Yes.
Was running one and the deep baggers were trying to dethrone him. And
yes, that
and
would
they
be
didn't
him.
Get.
And he didn't get it part by getting Democrats, black Democrats, to vote for him.
I thought about that, and I'm just like, I don't, my take, we can talk about a little bit about the election cycle. I just don't know if any of these say much about anything at this point.
Yeah, I can see that. The Google event. The smartwatches and the things.
I didn't give a fuck. I gotta be honest.
The Yo app.
Well, I thought we talked about Yo already.
We tweeted about it. We haven't talked
about
it.
Oh, no. Okay, well, then we should talk about Yo. Okay, all right. I thought we actually talked about it last week for some reason. So anyway,
I don't think so. Of course, I could be going like, you know.
No. We may not. No, I think it may have been just tweets. Not okay, so Yo. Of course, you know, the worst thing is that I have a tendency of, like, occasionally going and, like, trying to get people's attention on text messaging by going and typing Yo.
Yo.
Of course. Which I thought was just absolutely hilarious. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's an app?
Okay. Anyway, we got our list. Let's take a break. And we'll start with whatever Yvonne wants to go with first. We will be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
What, you hang up on me? Hello?
I'm thinking.
Oh.
And here we are!
And you are! And we're here.
Okay, Vaughn, what's first? You got your big list.
All right, let's go on the phone search.
Okay. So give us the background and then we'll go.
Well, as I understood this, the there was a case, and I'm not sure where it originated, okay? I was wondering through Supreme Court, where basically it came to the court where they were trying to establish whether, for example, police officers historically, if they had stopped a suspect for whatever reason, they had the ability to go and like search that person and see if they had something in their pockets or something or whatever, and so on.
And previous precedent had basically said that that included looking at the person's phone and including what was on it.
Correct. And the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, basically said that, you know what, in an era now of smartphones, a phone like, if I remember correctly, it mentioned the decision, it said, you know, that phone is not just a phone. It carries, now, that carries an entire person's
life
and history. It's your life carried there. And so, in order for the police to get access to that, they need to get a warrant. They cannot just search people's smartphones. Period.
And
it was a unanimous decision.
And my only reaction there is about fucking time.
I agree.
And I think we need similar precedents for other things. Like the other shoe that needs to drop on this for us to be in the right place is elimination of what's it called, the third party doctrine, which basically says if you store your information with a third party, there's no longer any expectation of privacy. But of course, almost everything we do these days, your email, your phone calls,
goes through
third parties. So if you leave that doctrine intact, then guess what? You never have an expectation of privacy on anything, pretty much. that has yet to be. But I think this is the first one that sort of is, wow, like the justices on the Supreme Court actually showed some level of understanding of a technological issue, because in the past they've been notoriously bad at anything. And we're going to talk about the Aereo case, which indicates where we may not be all the way there yet anyway, but they've been notoriously bad at anything involving technology because, frankly, they didn't understand it. They didn't use it. They didn't. And same thing goes for science as well, for that matter. But the bottom line is, the justices have.
They have smartphones.
They have. They apparently have smartphones. They have admitted they don't use email. Like, there have been interviews where they talk about the Supreme Court, and, we still use paper memos. We, like, have our secretaries type them and walk them down the hall to the other justice,
Well, that way they're probably regarding their work, I would say that I would still I would feel more comfortable still doing that.
Well, they're private emails anyway, but yeah, you don't have to. We're not talking about them using the Hotmail account or whatever, but
yes.
What is it? I think I read the average age on the Supreme Court right now is 68,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's not to be a complete shock that these guys aren't up to date on the latest technological trends. But at least apparently they have smartphones now. And I saw a number of jokes, over the last couple days that basically, were like, well, they'll understand this other issue once they get this. But at least they have the smartphones. So now, like, cause when this has come up in the courts before, there's just been a complete lack of understanding that, a phone isn't just a phone, as they said. A smartphone is really a misnomer. It's like it's a data and communication device that just happens to have a phone on it. And actually put that in there.
Listen, when it was 15, 20 years ago, I mean, let's face it, a cell phone? It had nothing.
You might have a few stored phone numbers.
Exactly. That's about it. And I remember that I was a guy. I was the type of person. I didn't even store numbers on my phone. Okay, all right. I just knew people's numbers by memory. I dialed numbers on my memory. I was like, to me, I found it incredibly useless, especially because I couldn't search the numbers by name.
Right.
You would have to put a number in there as like
number
speed
five.
Dial one, speed dial two. And I'm like, what the hell? If I got to remember a number to remember the number, might as well just dial the damn number anyway. So I mean, times have changed. The devices have changed. I guess the one thing that I was just talking about, that I was thinking about.
I mean, meanwhile, just on the other end of that spectrum, I just have to say, I don't even know my wife's phone number.
Because I
hit the button on my phone to call her. I don't
you
know
suck.
The number.
I know my wife's number.
I realized the other day, I only know right now two phone numbers. That's it. Two phone numbers.
Seriously, dude?
And one of them is my own phone number. And the other one is the house that my dad has lived in for the last, 20, 25 years. So, and I lived there when I was still young and you had to remember phone numbers.
You're crazy, man. I mean, I remember a lot of numbers.
Those are the only two. And I guess I remember 911.
I remember like my parents' number, my sister's cell phone number, my wife's cell phone number.
I slightly lie. I know the conference call number for work.
I know that one too by memory. Yeah, there you go. Jesus.
But basically that's it. Like, my wife's number, my daughter's number, I don't know. My mom's number, I don't know. The only reason I know my dad's number is it's been the same since I was a teenager. That's it. I don't know, and I keep thinking every once in a while, like, if I'm ever, like, in deep trouble and don't have my phone, or my phone is dead, and I have to,
you're
like,
screwed.
If I have to, like, go up to somebody and say, hey, can you please call my wife for me? They'll be like, okay, what's the number? I have no idea. I think it has an 8 in it.
You know, maybe you should put, like, a little note in your wallet with that number, just in case for emergencies.
You know, that's probably a good idea. Well, even one of those emergency contact things, in case you get hit by a car or something.
Yes. You know? I think that in your case, that would not be such a bad idea. Can I be honest? Well, the one thing that I was going to say about this is, you know,
I would ask them to email her instead.
Oh, that was... Anyway, but I wanted to get back to the Supreme Court just
go ahead.
About, you know, look, I think we've been, you know, and like you said, we've been pounding the table a lot about the Supreme Court not protecting individual rights a lot as much as we would like, especially in the last 15 years, especially after September 11th. And I mean, this was quite an aggressive and
unanimous.
One thing to say, unanimous.
Yeah, and that's very significant that it's unanimous. I mean, we've got a lot of 5-4 decisions on a lot of stuff. Unanimous decisions have a little bit more weight because it's not just going to be turned over with a couple new justices in a few years.
I mean, this was like a thundering, shot, you know, to tell people that, yes, we do still recognize privacy rights. Okay. I was quite pleased, to be honest with you, with the decision myself, just as you were as well. I was very happy about it. So,
I think definitely a move in the right direction, which is very refreshing because there have been a lot of moves in the wrong direction, in recent years, like you said. So, it's good. There's a lot more I'd like to see happen along those fronts, but I'm not gonna dismiss it. This was a significant ruling on a significant issue, and will make a big difference in terms of how a lot of stuff is done.
And I think that, you know, if you take that, and like you were mentioning about that, and now that you've got a way for the justices to understand privacy to a certain extent in the modern technological era, like you were talking about data and where it's sitting and whatever, I think that now when somebody has an argument related to privacy and related to new modern technology services, I think you've got an avenue where you can approach the justices in a way that they can try to understand what you're trying to do and why you're explaining why it's important for that to be private.
You know how you do this on your iPhone?
Right.
You know, they can make analogies to something that they feel like they understand.
Exactly.
Now, there, like one of the justices was quoted just like a year or two ago saying, I don't know if I have an iPhone. I have this thing, but I can never use it because it has this passcode.
Oh, that's so funny. That's hilarious. Well, you know, to a certain extent, it's still quite refreshing anyway that somebody's not fucking hooked up to a goddamn smartphone 24/7. You know, could I be honest? You know, sometimes I miss those days.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't want to talk about the smartwatches, but they're going to be implanted in our brains in a few years. You know that, right?
I hope not.
Anyway, like I said,
right.
I think there's, I'm hoping that this is the first of many and that this will mark a new movement in, you know, sort of privacy focused stuff as we go forward. And I don't think this is a radical interpretation of, you know, the amendments. I mean, it's just like, you know, Fourth Amendment. You have the right to a warrant before a search and seizure of your stuff. And I think we've moved in completely the wrong direction where there are so many cases where the court has ruled, that's not really a search. They can just do that. And I think we need to move in the other direction that it recognizes more and more things as actually being searches and worthy of protection.
Right.
Now, of course, there's this whole other issue that a warrant's not all that hard to get. And they should probably be harder to get than they are. and requirements that they in fact be individualized and not these, you know, warrant that covers the whole city and all this stuff. But you know,
but it's a substantial barrier. Okay, yes. All right. I mean, because you know, it's a substantial barrier to stop people just screwing around with you and doing stuff. Okay, that they shouldn't be.
Yeah,
doing.
Don't get me wrong. This is a good move in the right direction. I'm just saying, there's a lot of other stuff that still needs to happen to really get us to where we need to be. That's all.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's the phone searches.
Let's take a break before the next one.
Okay.
Let's take a break. We'll be back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Alex, what are you giggling about? Alex is hiding under my desk. Anyway, we're back.
We're back.
So what's next, Yvonne? What's next on the magical agenda?
Aereo.
Now, here's one. So I'll give the summary this time. Basically, the court decided that Aereo's technique of having a whole bunch of antennas and sort of redistributing signals over the internet to subscribers was functionally no different than a cable system and therefore violated copyright law and was not allowed. Now, I'll say on my end, first of all, I'll preface, unlike the other one, which seemed like fairly, you know, cut and dried Fourth Amendment stuff. This ties to copyright law, and I have no freaking clue like what is actually right or wrong based on the reading of the existing law today. But I'm not surprised at all. The law is geared very, very much towards copyright holders at this point, so it's not surprising at all.
I think the main problem with Aereo is, you know, you're talking about, if you look at the disclaimers that almost every TV broadcast has, okay, that, you know, you cannot reproduce, you know, rebroadcast without explicit permission from the owner of the program. Mm-hmm. And then the thing is that Aereo was taking that program that it had that explicit, you know, warning against that, okay, and not only just redistributing, but charging for.
Well, but their argument, and this is what the Supreme Court dismissed, was their argument was they were not doing sort of like cable companies were and having the big antenna that catches everything and then redistributes it to everybody who pays for it. Instead, they had they would have an antenna for you that would record your stuff and stream it to you. So their argument was it's very similar to, you know, if I have a Slingbox set up, you know,
but it is,
for myself.
It wasn't.
And here's the thing. Like, and this is another one where I'm not going to comment one way or another on whether they were right or wrong based on the reading of the law today. Now, Aereo had actually tried very hard to read the law as it existed today and figure out something that would be a loophole given what the law was today. And the Supreme Court basically said, forget about your implementation details that you very carefully designed to try to meet within the wording of the law today. The intent of the law was to stop this kind of stuff. So screw your technical details. You violate the intent.
Yes.
So I appreciate their effort to try to make it work, you know, as the law was actually worded. But again, whatever the legality of it is, I think this is a case where let's take it as gospel that the Supreme Court was right and that the law does prohibit this. Then I think that the argument moves towards, it's a real shame that the laws are set up that way.
This is a
classic example of the laws being structured in a way to protect the incumbents in an industry from upstart innovators who are doing things in a new and different and perhaps better way.
I don't know. I don't agree. I think that, you know, there was a different way that they could have done it, which I thought. You mentioned specifically a great example, the sling box. The sling box are legal. If they would have sold people a device,
the content folks don't like that either. By the way, the content folks are not happy that sling boxes.
They may not like it, but that's an individual device for you to retransmit your own, to yourself, your own stuff. Okay, right. Which they probably can't stop. I don't see how they can. I think that that's the only way that you're really allowed to be able to do it. I just don't see how you could create a centralized structure to capture the signals, send them out to somebody, and then charge.
So, let me ask this: how is it different? Let's do this. How is it different? Let's say the Slingbox's example is legal. Now, does it stay legal if I decide? Let's say I'm a Florida sports fan, even though I'm here in Washington.
Right.
If I say, Yvonne, I will send you a Slingbox, and I will pay for cable at your house if you hook up the Slingbox in your house so I can watch the Florida sports here.
They will say that's illegal because I'm selling to you that content.
No, but I'm paying for the cable. I'm paying for the Slingbox. I'm only paying for you to put it in a closet in your house.
If you probably do it, and you're paying, say, okay, I'm here, you're doing it and sticking it in my closet, they probably would not rule that as legal. Now, if you're paying me $10 for me to store it and to send you the signal, then they would say it would be illegal. That's what I think.
So if you put it in your closet for free, it would be okay, but if I paid you $10, it wouldn't be? Is that correct. What you're saying?
Yes, that is correct. That's my understanding of the law.
Okay.
It's like, for example, if I decided to go and have
let me take the analogy a little bit further. Let's say instead of me paying you $10 to put it in your closet, what if I just rented an apartment and put it there?
But you own your own house, so therefore it's not illegal. I mean, that's what the Slingbox is doing right now.
So what if instead of renting an apartment, I rented a rack in a data center and put it there?
That's why the law is beautiful. You start getting tricky. I think that they would probably still allow you to do that because you're renting a rack.
So if I rent a rack in a data center and put my own Slingbox there,
right, and you're using it for your own purposes,
and I'm using it for my own purposes, that's cool. So what if, as a data center vendor, I say one of our services is you can buy a Slingbox and we'll put it in your rack?
I think that that's where it starts getting tricky. It just depends on how you propose it.
Because once you do that, you're essentially doing what Aereo's done.
Well, but that's why, for example, this whole part with copyright and royalties and all of that gets really tricky. Where like you've got people, for example, hey, you know what? I will tell you this. I mean, for years, I did both where I played music in my store. That I either paid royalties and I didn't, okay? Mm. And the reality is that according to the law, I should just not have a rate. I mean, if I'm in a store and I'm playing music, I should be paying royalties.
Yeah, you can't, even if all you're doing is plugging in a radio and turning it on, that is illegal in a public place unless you're paying royalties for that.
That is correct. Absolutely, yes.
Which is freaking ridiculous. I mean, I understand that's what the law is, but it's crazy. It's stupid.
This law has been around for a long time.
Oh, I know. It's been around forever. Same place, like the publishing companies, you know, will also do things like, the same thing is true if you sing the music. It's a different set of royalties to a different set of people, blah, blah, blah. But like there are people who will go around from the ASCAP, go around to like churches and stuff. And check to make sure they've paid the license on the hymns they sing.
Right.
You know, it's like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. I mean, and this is where, you know, like I said, I have no doubt that the laws do in fact enforce all of this stuff. And I'm willing to grant that the Supreme Court was right in their decision based on the law as it exists today.
You just don't like the law.
I just don't like the law. Now, there were a couple, this one was not a unanimous decision. There were a few justices that said, like Scalia said, that no, this should not be legal, but as I read the law today, it actually is. You know, so Scalia said that. But no, I think copyright laws in general have gone way, way, way too far. They give the copyright holders way too much power in way too many areas. And it is stifling all sorts of progress in all sorts of areas, both technologically and creatively and everything else. I mean, everything from the sort of Mickey Mouse protections that, you know, nothing since Mickey Mouse has gone out of copyright in the United States, you know, and been returned to the public domain. Yeah, this kind of stuff is nuts, and it needs to be rolled back. However, you know, this is one area where, you know, the industries involved have been so good at lobbying. There's no chance in hell. Now,
the chance of this changing, exactly.
I mean, there's been a little bit of a shift in the last few years because some of the tech companies are taking the opposite side in these debates. But the tech companies so far have just been really bad at lobbying compared to the older interests. And maybe in the next 20 years, they'll get better at it. But so far, they haven't been.
So far, they've sucked. I mean, that's a reality. So anyway, all right. So Aereo, and most probably, by the way, one thing we didn't talk. Look, everybody who owned Aereo said that we have no plan B.
Yep.
If they lost the Supreme Court, they were dead. Yep. And I think that they're done. I mean, I just don't think that they prepared any plan B scenario, and I just don't see what the business proposition is now. I mean, what? They're going to have to pay like a cable company and just go another fucking cable company.
Go underground. Illegal bootleg area.
Well, there you go. That's a business plan. Yeah, that sounds good. I like that plan. Okay, not.
And anyway. Do you really see the police busting in to like steal Aereo boxes? I mean, they have done it. Like the stupid Pirate Bay got raided in Sweden.
Exactly. What the fuck are you talking about? They grabbed what's his name? The guy down in New Zealand. What was his name?
Kim.com. However, on Kim.com's case, they grabbed all his stuff. They shut down his service. They deleted all that data. But every step since then in court, Kim.com has won.
No, that's funny.
So, I mean, it's not over yet by any means, but at each stage.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you said they raid them. Yeah, they'll freaking raid. They'll raid everybody.
Yeah, but as long as there's a server farm they can raid, I think they would lose support quickly if they were raiding the individual subscribers. But they don't have to.
That too.
But they don't have to.
But they don't have to. All right. So, okay. All right. So
let's take another break and we'll come back and talk about whatever the hell's next.
Yep, whatever the hell.
Yeah, back after this. Okay, Vaughn, here we are. What's next?
Yo! 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 Yo!
Oh, we're talking about yo-yo next.
Yo!
So we're breaking up the Supreme Court stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so yo.
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 We could do this forever.
Yes, apparently we can. Yo.
$1 million.
$1 million. We're fucking idiots.
They said they threw it together in an afternoon.
Yeah.
The only thing the app does is send the word yo.
What the fuck? I mean, I don't.
Now to be fair here. Apparently, there are a number of things here if you read more deeply into it. First of all, they haven't actually received the whole $1 million yet. They're just people promising it. Second, of course, the idea is they're funding the company for $1 million, not that the people who wrote the app get $1 million free and clear. The idea is you use it to run the business and hire people and expand and do whatever.
So it's expand and add more words.
It's not. Yeah.
Like. The
founders of Yo app, by the way, they were at a company. They've got other real apps. And they have apparently actually turned down even more funding for this because they say, look, you know, this thing is probably going to go bust in like a few weeks when people get over the novelty. So they actually said in their interview, we didn't feel good taking more than this because people have offered them more.
God, like, what the hell? Well, I gotta admit that I'm sure that they probably just put it together and put it, you know, this whole crowdfunding thing now has gotten so easy, and I'm sure they put it together and they put it out there, and maybe they thought, yeah, some people throw some money. I guess I don't think they.
No, apparently they didn't even do that. They put the app out there on the App Store, and then people came to them saying, we want to invest in this.
Oh, that's nuts. This is fucking nuts. This is fucking nuts.
Because they'd already built the app. They built it like on a lark for the hell of it.
Why? Okay, I'm sorry. We've been on the App Store. We've been on iTunes Store for how long?
Oh, our podcast?
Yeah, 8 years. Nobody has come quite. Over to us with $1 million, okay, to do anything. I mean, you know, we really are doing something wrong. Seriously.
We got to do some promotion here.
I guess so.
You're good at this stuff. Get us some sponsors.
I should probably try to figure out something.
Get us advertised so that we get more listeners. You know,
I'll try to work on that. Maybe when I get back to my house at some point, you know, I'm still not in, but you know,
but I saw you post some pictures. You're getting close.
It's getting close. Now, actually, we'll probably be moving back this weekend.
Excellent.
Okay, all right, finally.
Did you see the other startup I sent you?
I did not have a chance to open that. No, I was on a business trip this week again. So, no. What was the other startup? I did try to open it.
Let me see just a second. I'll find it. Damn it. Find this stupid thing. Anyway, Washboard. It was Washboard.
And what did Washboard do?
They give you the opportunity that you can pay them $15 a month. And for that $15 a month, once a month, they will...
Oh, the one that ships you $10 a quarters.
That's right.
For $15 a month. I was talking to my wife about that last night, and she's like looking at me like, what the fuck? Seriously? it's not an app. This is a service, right?
So this is a service. And actually, if you go to their website right now, they're apparently
out of business.
They're shut down right now because apparently they violated their payment processor's terms of service. And they gave them 14 days to find somebody else.
What the hell? It's called Washboard, right?
Washboard. Washboard.co.
Okay, Washboard.co.
And apparently I saw something else. They didn't actually have very many customers. But
I would think not.
Well, so their notion was actually fairly interesting. It's like, you know, there are a lot of people out there who still, for whatever reason, need to have a laundromat or whatever to do, or have...
Well, I will say this. My wife went and actually said that exactly. And she said, still a lot of people have to do laundry with coins.
Right. And the thing is, more and more people these days don't carry around cash, quarters. And so, like, maybe the places that have coin-operated washing machines may well have change machines where you can put in a $10 bill and get quarters or something, but what if you don't have a $10 bill either? All you have is your damn card.
Right.
You know, and so this service was basically saying, we will give you a reliable, steady supply of quarters, and you pay a little bit of a premium to them. They mail them to you two-day air or whatever once a month. And so the note they have there is...
Well, actually, they've basically said they're out of business.
Yeah, nearly 100% of the internet thought Washboard was an absolutely absurd concept. At a very difficult time convincing people the service was even real, but we did have customers that were excited for it. I apologize to those folks, but we have decided to shut down Washboard. While I am sad to see it go so quickly, I'm excited to be focusing my energy on something ultimately more worthwhile. Despite Washboard being completely legal, Washboard violated our payment processors' terms of service. They graciously gave us 14 days to find someone else. Sadly, most payment processors had the same terms of service.
I wonder what the heck the terms was. Oh, so you couldn't charge cash or something? I don't know.
You couldn't charge people $15 for $10.
For $10, probably. Something like that.
You know, and I was like, you know, I was thinking when I saw this, I'm like, hey, if this works, you know, we can undercut them. We can sell people $10 a quarter for $14.
$14. What a novel concept.
you got to think, look, ultimately, this stuff isn't entirely that absurd. I mean, you've got Coinstar, of course. They'll pay you for your coins, but not for the full amount. They deduct a
coin. But like I'm sitting here in my dad's home office. Okay, I looked that he has this massive jar of coins. I mean, it's massive. I mean, Jesus, this thing. I mean, you know, I understand getting rid of that is painful.
Yeah, okay? I mean, and we used to. We haven't done it in a while. We probably should, but like, you know, we've got those jars of coins too. And like when they filled up or, you know, in the leaner days when we needed the cash, we'd go to the coin store and usually pop like, around 150, $200 of coins at a time, you know?
I remember when we had a business, I used to roll up our change. Okay. I had machines and equipment to do this. It was an incredibly tedious and time consuming task. Right.
Even with those Coinstar machines, if you've got like a big ass jar, you're spending 15, 20 minutes at that Coinstar machine feeding all the stuff in there.
Oh my God. And you know, the thing is that we had all these vending machines that took coins. I mean, we had soda machines. We had these little horses and things and whatever. And I'd have to go and freaking empty coins, and they would accumulate. And then, you know, shit, I mean, go take them to the bank. I would have to roll up all this crap. Oh, my God, it was a fucking nightmare. I hated that so much. The worst thing that happened, I remember a couple of times, me cleaning those up, I got really bad, like, geez, I actually picked up more than once a freaking throat infection from freaking rolling up the damn coins.
And by the way, I just reading on their site also, they launched on June 19th, so they were only like live as a business for like a week.
Oh, well. Well, that's a shame. Well, you know what? Rip Washboard. We're going to miss you. It was funny. Okay. So anyway, all right. So no more Washboard. And apparently Yo is not going to be a $1 billion app.
No, probably not. But you know, it starts you thinking of other things that you could deliver to people on a subscription basis for more than it's worth.
That happens every day. I got to be honest.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got all these whatever of the month clubs that are basically that doing that kind of thing, right?
The food of the month club.
Month, meat of the month, you know, toilet paper of the month. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I know, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm not coming up with one right now that I would, you know, right now we're taking money out of the equation right now to deliver versus apparently it violates some kind of terms of service to deliver money for money.
Well, you know, on the other hand, you know, you could be like, forget the payment processor. Mail us quarters, and we'll take some of them and mail the rest back.
Thought that would be genius. Yes, just mail us your quarters, and then we'll return some to you on a regular basis. That's really convenient.
We'll sort them for you, so they're in order by like who's on the side of the quarter.
Who's on the side of the quarter? Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, you want only quarters with your state, we'll make sure you get only quarters with your state.
You know, this goes back to, I don't remember from
the first change Saturday Night, bank, yes.
The national, yes. I sent the you national that link change too. Bank. Yes. The national change bank. Yes. Yes. Anyway, all right.
We'll make it up on volume.
Volume. How do we make money? Volume. Anyway, all right.
Okay, well, do we have one more Supreme Court thing to talk about?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's take another break, and we'll be back with one more Supreme Court thing. Back after this. Okay, Vaughn, what's the last case here?
Recess appointments.
And this was another unanimous decision.
Yes.
And this is another one I don't disagree with at all. I think, you know, there's, you know, basically, for those of you who don't remember, the Senate was not approving basically anybody Obama nominated for anything whatsoever. So Obama's like, I'm going to use the recess appointment power to put people in. So there's a recess appointment power. If the Senate is not in session, the president can appoint people for a temporary term that's like a year or something. I forget the details.
Right.
And so the Senate was like, oh, no, you don't. We're not going to go into recess. When everybody goes home for vacations or whatever, we're still going to have daily pro forma sessions where once a day we hit the gavel, we say the Senate is in business, no new business, the Senate is closed for the night again, and we will never actually go on to recess.
I love it.
And the president was like, that doesn't count. I'm going to appoint people anyway. And the Supreme Court unanimously said, if the Senate says they're in session, the Senate is in session. You can't do that.
And it didn't, so it didn't take away the power of the recess appointment. It just said, you know, if the Senate says they're in session, period.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, look, I am very sympathetic to Obama's frustration that, you know, people he was nominating were not getting up and down votes in the Senate. And I think that's also a broken process. I think the Senate should give up and down votes for nominees. And, you know, if the Senate chooses not to confirm them, great. But this whole tactic of holding it up forever and just never voting on it, I think is bullshit. However, the right solution to that is not basically say, well, I'm going to ignore it and do it anyway.
Well, yeah, but now I will say, it's not a defense. It's just I pulled up the stat in the Wall Street Journal. I was looking at the article about it. They were talking about how many recess appointments the last presidents have done. All right, so Obama has done a grand total of 32 recess appointments. Okay, all right. Now, you know, I don't know how many Reagan did. I was like shocked by this number. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Take a guess. How many do you think?
A couple hundred.
Yeah, 232. George W. Bush did 171.
Now, see, the difference, though, is the Senate was actually in recess.
Yeah, but regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about 171.
It's been a well-used power over the history of the Republic.
Yeah, I mean, almost every president, Clinton did quite a few. Let's see, how many did 130? About almost 140, okay? So I guess, you know, all the presidents used them, you know, substantially. So I'm not going to say that Obama was abusing it. I think that the part where you're mentioning is that I didn't realize was that he was still they technically were not in recess.
Well, yeah, that's the whole crux of the issue here. The Senate was saying, we don't want you to do recess appointments, so therefore we're not actually going to go on recess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but they nevertheless, like over holidays and stuff, they stopped actually doing business. But they would have these sessions where one senator or two would be on duty to go into the Senate that day, open the Senate for 2 or 3 minutes, and close it again.
Which, I don't know. That's kind of nefarious in and of itself.
Well, yeah, I mean... It's,
I mean, if there is a power to do a recess appointment, why the hell shouldn't the president be able to exercise it, I guess, is the question. And, like, why should somebody, you know, have one fucking, I don't know. Yeah, our office is open. Hey, you normally got 500 people. Yeah, I got one guy over there that wouldn't open the door and made sure the lights are on.
Here's the thing, though. The intention of the recess appointment, when it was written into the Constitution, was not get around the Senate when the Senate doesn't want to...
I totally get that.
For significant parts of the year, the Senate went home and was not in Washington and was not available.
I totally get that.
So it had an entirely different purpose. The purpose was to, if you needed to appoint somebody on an emergency basis when the Senate wasn't available, you could do so. That's what it's for. It was. In this case, that's not what's going on at all. What's going on is the Senate is making an explicit, whether you agree with it or not, the Senate is making an explicit decision saying, we are not going to vote on your appointees. We are not going to take action on your appointees. And this is a way to try to get around that. And that's not what the recess appointment is for.
Well, I totally get that,
but the reality is the Senate has the right to block presidential appointments.
That W. Bush, Clinton, Reagan, all of those, probably most of those, were precisely for the same reason. And
to be honest, that is very often like the Senate no longer goes into recess for many, many months at a time. We're talking a few weeks here and a few weeks there. So yes, exactly. Recess appointments have been in the last however many decades, primarily used to push people through that looked like they weren't going to get through the Senate.
My point is that it's not a President Obama thing.
The unique part to Obama was not using the recess appointment. The unique part to Obama was using the recess appointment when the Senate wasn't in recess.
Right. Or, yeah.
Obama's argument was, regardless of what they say, they actually are in recess because they're not actually doing business.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. There's no quorum. How the hell could you? Okay, there was no way to, here's the thing.
You don't need a quorum to open the Senate. You don't need a quorum to close the Senate. You only need a quorum for certain actions. And even then, you only need to vote.
How could you say you're open for business when you cannot hold a vote on anything? You don't have enough people to do one.
There is business that does not require votes. And also,
what business can you transact?
I will add one additional thing. There is no need for a quorum unless someone calls for a quorum call. Like, even to do votes, unless someone disputes the fact that you don't have a quorum, you don't even need it then. And again, like, the Senate is able to set their own rules to define what constitutes a quorum, when they're in business, when they're not in business. The Senate could decide, just like the Senate decided that they didn't need the filibuster for certain cases. For that matter, the Senate could decide you only need 3 votes to win.
Here's the thing, all right? And I guess that this is the main thing that the court decided. Because what the court decided was not whether the recess statute exists or not. They said it does. But what they did is really decide what the hell recess is.
The bottom line of the decision is that the Senate determines their own rules, and part of that is the Senate is the only body who can determine whether or not they're in recess.
Nobody else can make that judgment.
So if the Senate says they are not in recess, they are not in recess.
They are not in recess.
Which actually seems perfectly reasonable to me. And this is completely independent of the fact that the Senate should get off their asses and actually vote on these candidates, you know, but that's an entirely different issue. You can't, just because you don't like the result of the process doesn't mean it's okay to go around the process.
I think a lot of this is also been minimized lately, especially since they've been passing a lot of you know, they changed some of the supermajority rules that were needed to pass some appointments as well.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true.
So a lot of that backlog has been reduced due to that. So anyway, all right. So that was the last subject on the agenda.
And also, I should say that this actually mattered more when the Republicans were in the Senate, because the majority is the one who's really in control of when they're in recess or not. So as long as the Democrats are in majority, they weren't actually any longer obstructing Obama right. in this way. These were old cases from a few years ago, but basically it's saying that no, the president, regardless of the power of the party, can't get around the Senate this way. The Senate does have this power. They can exercise it.
Yep.
Okay, all are right. we done?
We're done. We are. Unless you got anything else on the table that you want to mention.
Well, you shot down my other things like Iraq and this thing, and that's fine.
There's nothing happening in Iraq. Okay? Google I.O., they're going out there and saying, yeah! Like Apple also does. Not going to argue that, but it's just one of these fucking, like, you know, whatever. So, like, they've announced anything like earth-shattering or anything. Who gives a shit?
Anyway, we can talk about all those other things, because, you know, Yvonne, there actually are things going on in Iraq, but we'll talk about it next week, depending
See,
on what
there
happens.
There are, I know, but I just wasn't really interested in it this week.
I gotcha. We'll talk again next week. So thanks, everybody.
I heard Chalabi came back into the picture.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Whatever.
Exactly.
You know,
do you see?
There were all kinds of other quotes from, like, you know, whatever. We're not talking about it this week. Okay. thanks, everybody, for listening. You know the usual. Contact me. I'm Abelsmay at abelsmay.com. On Twitter, I'm Abelsmay. And Yvonne is I-M-Bo. I-M-B-O-U.
I am Bo. That is who I am.
You am Bo?
Yeah,
I am. And you know how to get to us. Talk to us. Tell your friends. All that lovely
Somebody,
sort of stuff.
Anybody got to contact some of those people with the crowdfunding money. We're interested to talk.
You know, we say this every other week, and the joke is getting really old, and nobody ever sends us money.
I know, but you know, I mean, listen, we don't even need $1 million. A couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
We'll work with that. We can start working with that. We'll pay ourselves some salaries.
Uh-huh. But if anybody wants to, like, just drop, you know, 10 or 20 million on us, that's cool too.
Well, we'll figure something out. Don't worry about it. We'll first figure something out quickly. Yes.
Okay, we're out of here. Right. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Have a good week.
Bye.